Today is the first Sunday in Lent, which explains the burning question that is currently making the rounds. What did you give up? Has anyone entertained that question? A few? Yeah? I haven't so much recently, but this sort of conversation was particularly common in my Roman Catholic youth when we engaged in a sort of theological one-upmanship, hoping to top each other in the game of who would suffer the most. After all, Lent was to be a gloomy time, marked by grim endurance, and the pious among us wanted to be sure to appear dedicated to the cause. And as far as I can tell, many people still do give up something for Lent. And if you have ever done that, have you noticed that after a while, the thing that you gave up is the one thing that you really, really want, right? So if you gave up chocolate, suddenly nothing looks better than an Oreo cookie. Give up TV, and pretty soon you just long for a glimpse of your favorite show. Because when we do give something up, as time goes on, its absence can become more and more obvious. So then, we are tempted more and more to eat, or to do, or to have that one thing that we so bravely banished from our lives. For even pious suffering asks for a reprieve. And as Oscar Wilde once said, I can resist everything except temptation. So, it seems appropriate then that we hear temptation stories on this first Sunday in Lent and ponder the fact that temptation visits us in many forms, from the candy at the grocery store checkout, right, to a warm bed on a Sunday morning. Because the truth is that temptation challenges us early and often, and not just in the form of our Lenten discipline, but most likely in just about every aspect of our lives. So today's biblical stories are instructive for us as we enter this season of Lent, for they give us a way to contemplate this whole business of sacrifice, temptation, and resistance. So in the Old Testament story, we heard of the very first temptation of humankind, and their woeful failure to offer any sort of resistance. For God had set very clear rules for the first couple, but along came a smooth-talking snake, and they blew it. For in spite of having everything they could possibly need, they allowed that snake to convince them that they could be like God, giving them a great rationalization then for eating the fruit of the forbidden tree. And the rest, as they say, is history. So, as time went on, God entered into a covenant with the people of Israel. And in spite of lots of guidance, many prophets, and countless chances, the people constantly failed to keep their end of the bargain. So finally, Jesus came to initiate both a new covenant and a new way of life. And in today's gospel, we encounter Jesus at the very beginning of his ministry. But before he could really get started, Jesus was tested, tempted by the devil himself to take advantage of the divine power that was available to him. Jesus, however, resisted. He did not rationalize his need for food. He did not give in to the challenge to prove himself. And he did not surrender to a need for power. Instead, Jesus remained true to God, and his determined resistance to these temptations and his clear choice to follow the path of God offers a stark contrast to the story of Adam and Eve. For us, then, these stories highlight the importance of our individual choices. So how do we make them? What do we base our decisions on? What is our overarching guiding principle? And how do our choices affect our relationship with God? Adam and Eve based their decision on the words of a serpent and ignored the word of God. They were guided by self-interest, curiosity, and a desire for knowledge. And because of that, they lost sight of God's goodness and God's blessing. So they not only show us the folly of basing decisions on such an untrustworthy source, but also demonstrate how our own needs and our own desires can lead us to making bad choices. Jesus, on the other hand, based his decisions on his knowledge and love of God. And he was guided by his desire to serve and to worship God. He remained focused on what was most important in his life, and he was not sidetracked by his own needs or by his own agenda. So Jesus shows us how to make decisions rooted in faith and grounded in love, free of that need for self-importance. But the truth is that making such God-centered decisions is difficult. For we are by nature self-centered creatures, quick to rationalize our choices and often eager for an easy way out. Which doesn't make us bad. It simply means we're human. However, this does not excuse us from making the effort to become more God-centered and more faith-oriented. But how do we do that? How do we resist temptation? And how do we make good decisions? Well, part of the answer is practice. We have to practice resisting temptation. We have to build up our spiritual muscles for those times when challenges arise. We have to work at being faithful and learn to firmly root ourselves in our faith and the love of God. So like any other thing we want to be good at, we have to put some real effort into it. And one of the best times to do that is the season of Lent. For this is a time set aside by the church to focus on our relationship with God and to make an extra effort to find out what that relationship really means in our lives. So rather than view Lent as a time of gloom and grimness, let's see it for the opportunity it is, a time to be intentional in our actions and conscious of our efforts, a time to become less self-centered and more God-centered. It's a time to be aware of not only our choices, but also what motivates those choices. And it's possibly a time to give something up or take something on, but not in order to appear more pious or long-suffering, but instead to enrich and to deepen our relationship with God. For not only can we learn to live in a more God-centered way, we must learn. Because the story of Adam and Eve is not an isolated instance of human weakness, but a universal story of humankind's frailty in the face of temptation and our unfortunate habit of making selfish choices. In the account of Jesus' refusal to succumb to Satan's invitation, it's not to just show us how great he is, but rather serves as an example of how important it is that we learn to rely on God's word, how we hold fast to God's love, and root ourselves in our faith in God. So, as we begin this season of Lent, let's recognize it as a season rich with opportunity and full of many possible choices to be made, both good and bad. Which means, then, that we should take it as the challenge that it is and resist the temptation to be lazy or to be unengaged. And instead, invest ourselves in at least one aspect of our lives of faith. So rather than focus on the question about what we're giving up, it's more important, really, to ask, what are we doing to make this season of Lent, to make our faith deeper stronger, and more meaningful. Amen. Amen.